Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How's it going? It's Andrew, Marty, and looks like Elliot Friedman, but supposed to be Craig Rabe.
I did my hair just like Elliot today.
What's your shirt say today, Riv?
Today,
save Ferris 86.
Ferris Bueller's day off.
You know, for a guy who's terrible with movies, you wear a lot of movie shirts.
Yeah, I just don't know the quotes.
Could you quote Ferris Bueller?
Not in the slightest, not whatsoever.
Marty, what about you? Could you quote Ferris Bueller?
I haven't watched that movie in forever. I know the parts of the movies, the movie itself, you know, what happens in the movie, I remember, but I don't know that I could quote it. The only thing I could quote was Ben Stein when he says, Bueller, yeah. Bueller. That would be, and by the way, I love Ben Stein's, right? I used to watch a show which was
Win
Ben Stein's money. Like it's a spin-off on the Jeopardy. And if somebody answered with what is the instigator, for example, they would get the cone of shame. They weren't allowed to answer with a question, right? It was just a straight answer. So they would get the cone of shame. That was a great show.
Oh, it was painful listening to him read.
He's so monotone.
No, okay, so here's a line from that movie. It was something, something economics, voodoo economics.
Oh, I don't know.
He's also in the movie The Mask when he goes, we all wear masks, metaphorically speaking. I think that was Ben Stein.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ben Stein wrote a presidential speech or political speeches and things like that. I think that was a job that he had.
You said correct you if you're wrong?
No, yeah. Idea.
I have no idea. But you know what, Marty?
He's an American writer. So according to Wikipedia, like I just put him there. He's an American writer, lawyer, actor, comedian, and commentator on political and economic issues. So he was a speechwriter for President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. How about that?
Wow.
Well, there's no doubt. Like he's brilliant, right? I mean, just like, anyway, I don't. That's all I know about Ben Stein. The first time I ever remember seeing Ben Stein was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's how we got there, was Riv's legendary shirt. So yeah. Anyway,
how was the game last night, Marty?
Oh my gosh, I don't know about you, Rivs or Petey, but I sat on my bed with my daughters were watching TV in the other room, and they were. You know, like watching World of Dance or something. And I was like, guys, there's this game from 1994 on. Let's watch it. And They're like, if you're playing, we'll watch. And I'm like, okay, forget about it. But my son sat on the bed with me. We had the game on, and he could not believe how good Dominic Hasek was, because it was the Dominic Hasek show. The guy was on fire. So for my son, who's 15, and he's a goalie as well, for him to watch Dom work, it was unreal. So I watched from beginning to the end, 8 to 11. I was glued to it. And then at 11 o'clock, it started again, and I watched up until the first overtime, because I just wanted to get more. It was fantastic.
Marty, do you not think Marty Brodeur might have made some of the bigger saves in the game?
No, absolutely not. I think he made some great saves, but not any. The top 10 saves in the game are Dominic Hasek.
Okay. How many saves did Brodeur have? Three, four?
No, did your brother feed you that line too, Craig?
Greatest goaltender in the world gets four shots a game.
No, I never said that he was the greatest. I said Dominic Hasek is the greatest goalie to ever play. Hands, and it has nothing to do with last night. He might be the greatest hockey player to ever play.
We had a debate on our well, not so much of a debate. There was a couple of statements made on our group chat yesterday that Dominic Hasek could be the greatest athlete of all time. When you watch him in 95, 96, in that middle 90s to late 90s, how dominant he was, and how, like yesterday, the Sabres in that game, in game six, so we're talking playoff hockey, first round in 94, it's game six. And their strategy was, we hope Dom makes all the saves. Like, we have nothing. Like, it just, the Sabres really.
Did you see some of the point-blank shots he had to save?
Exactly. Like, that's my point.
How about Niedermeyer in the third overtime period, point-blank, right at the top of the circle?
Yeah, from the slot. Like, how many shots did Stéphane Richer walk in and hammer at Hasek? There was Bobby Olique, Zilipukin. Who else was there? Carpenter, Bobby Carpenter, I think, was there. Like,
Haven't even mentioned my favorite guy yet.
Your favorite guy, Scotty Stevens?
No, my favorite guy in that game last night. I'll tell you who it is. Number one, first of all.
With the Sabres or with the Devils?
Oh, with the Devils. Oh. With the Devils for sure. But I want to keep talking about this game before we even get to my favorite player.
Okay.
How many penalties were there? I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there and I'm actually counting. I'm saying out loud, penalty, 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 interference, hooking, holding, penalty, penalty. Literally in that sequence these guys could barely move out there. They could barely move. And Gregson called two penalties. Like, he could have called 1,000 more. He calls two penalties, and I'm just kind of like, oh my God, what's going on here? I think everybody was just absolutely delirious.
Well, PD, you played with Marty Brodeur in Jersey, okay? So the Sabres went 0-for-9 in the game on the power play. 0-for-9. They barely got any shots. And so I knew going into the game that they were going to struggle in the power play. So I'm watching the power play to see what is New Jersey doing, right? This is the first year of Marty Brodeur. Marty plays the puck incredibly well. And the New Jersey Devils were putting so much pressure on Buffalo in the neutral zone that they couldn't even get in the zone. And when the Sabres would dump it in, Marty would pick it up and shoot it all the way down on Dominic Hasek. I'm looking at this and I'm like, this was 1994. So the start of Marty Brodeur's career. And right then, you know, at that time, the Devils were already knowing that, hey, all we got to do is put pressure in the neutral zone or hold the neutral zone. He's going to take all the pucks and we'll be fine. Like, that was so impressive to watch.
Okay. How different is that game in 1994 from today's game?
Okay, stop. Can I answer this?
In all the ways?
That game was so much fun to watch. And the smaller rink made for a physical game and a lot of shots.
There was definitely some parts because it's a smaller ring that made the game a lot better. But so in the rules in 94, up until like just, 15 years ago, how about that two-line pass rule? You were playing on a small ice surface already, and you can't make a pass from one side to the blue line to the other side of the red line. Like, the linesmen are pointing their hand out, like two-line pass. The guys are trying to get back on the right side of center. I had to explain it to my son, like, that's a two-line pass. That's a whistle. Then he goes, what about taking face-offs everywhere? He goes, don't face-offs only happen on the face-off dots? I'm like, well, not then. Mm-hmm. Face-off dots were only for when the goalie throws the puck and the offsides. Like everything else, you drop the puck wherever the infraction was. So you had a face-off a foot inside the blue line, like in the middle of the ice. That's where the face-off is. It was definitely different.
Okay. The other thing I was tuning into was the music that was being played at the game.
Yes.
And when Bizarre Love Triangle came on, I got to tell you, there's nothing more hockey in the 90s than Bizarre Love Triangle. Do you guys know that song?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Rev, you're shaking your head. You got a Ferris Bueller 86 shirt on. Get with the times. You know what? You're a phony right now, Rev.
Sing it. Give me the tune.
It's more of a techno song. It's not really.
All right, you lost me there.
Well, it's
Every time I see you falling, yeah. I get down
on my knees and pray.
Yes.
I'm waiting for that final moment. No?
Keep going.
Rich. Hear the words that I can say.
And it was. PD, I thought about you in a third overtime. They played U2.
Oh, and I heard that. One Love.
One Love.
I'm thinking
way to pump the fans up. You're like,
no, but you know what? No, Marty, it was 0-0. The guy playing the music, I think, was being creative because he's playing songs. He's like, one is the loneliest number that could ever be. And he's playing all the songs. And then at the other time, there's another song that goes, oh my God, it was a great song in the 90s. And I should have written it down because I'm thinking every time I watch this stuff, I come up with these notes I think are hilarious, but I never write them down. I'm like, oh, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
And the song, it wasn't I Need a Hero, but it was, oh my God, I can't remember, but the music they were playing was just fantastic. It was amazing. The Beatles,
there was some technical difficulties as well with the sound. We got to remember, like, this is 1994. Those were probably taped on beta or VHS. And then, you know, they have to be digitalized. And there's, you know, whoever was working the game at the time had to make sure that it was preserved the right way. So it was, you know, there's some issues in there. So the second and third overtime, I don't think we could hear the play-by-play and the color.
Yeah, I could.
All you could hear was the sound of the game and the music between the whistles. Like, that's what you could hear.
How amazing was that, though? Just hearing the fans, like, nonstop. And there was always this – they would always scan and catch the crowd. And there was always this one guy in the crowd. He was always in the bottom right of my screen. He had a white shirt and a hat on with long hair. He was always standing up and, like, double fist pumping every time the Sabres crossed the red line with the puck. It was incredible. The fans were so into it. Some fans left, right? But then there were the four old ladies behind the goalie. They stuck around to the end.
Oh, you had to stop. If you had young kids, they went to bed. Now, the other part that was amazing when you consider it is, there was no ticker. You couldn't see what there was no bug on the screen. Like, you couldn't see the time left in the period, the score. Not that you needed to because it was 0-0 and you kind of know what's going on. But it just felt very raw. And yeah, we've gotten so accustomed to technology and information at our fingertips. And this game felt very just raw. Like, you're there and you're watching a hockey game. And I think that's what was so interesting and maybe so unique about that game last night, other than the fact that the hashtag made 70 saves. But guys taking shots, like, taking full slap shot and working really hard to try to get anything mustard on it.
how badly did Claude Lemieux want to win that game? He just took slap shot from everywhere. Hey,
Riggs, did you play with Claude Lemieux at all?
No, I didn't.
So when you got to Montreal, he was gone, right?
Yeah, he was gone. Yeah.
Man, hey. Because I pointed out, like, he was hated around the National Hockey League. So when he was in New Jersey and they were playing the Philadelphia Flyers in the playoffs, Craig Berube, Rick Tocchet, and Keith Jones were on Claude Lemieux so much. They just went after him, right? Like, they would yell things at him, went after him so much that Claude Lemieux called his good friend Wayne Gretzky, these guys were friends, to tell Gretz to call Rick Tocchet to tell him, hey, tell the guys to ease up on me because I'm like literally gonna lose my stuff right now. They just abused him verbally for a whole series the 1 year that Claude Lemieux called Gretzky to tell Tocchet to stop. Like, that's how hated Claude Lemieux was.
Yeah, man. And I'm sure that Gretzky made that call to Tocchet. And Tocchet received that call and said, okay, thanks, Wayne. I'll do that. I'll tell Jonesy and Berube to ease off on Lemieux.
Well, you know what happened.
He probably got it way worse.
That's exactly what happened. These guys, like Craig Berube will tell you, they just went after Lemieux and they went over the line. Like, the next day, it wasn't just about how he was a terrible player and how embarrassment he was on the ice. They went after his wife. They went after, like, everything. Like, it made it so much worse.
It's called no holds bar. When you're on the ice like that, I mean, stuff that's said. How many times have you heard an insanely offside comment to another player?
Many.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like,
Petey, who is one of the best? You played with him.
We don't have to do that.
Yes, we do. Oh, Patty Coletta.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
No, like, question, one of the best.
I don't know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the thing with Patty Coletta, and we're digressing because we're talking about the game from 1994 where Patty wasn't even born yet. But the thing with Patty Coletta, Patty was born in 94, right?
Yeah.
He was born before that. So anyway, he was just a youngster. But the thing with Patty is the same thing we're talking about. There was no line. He didn't see a line that, oh, I got to be careful not to cross over the line. He crossed over the line many times.
Who did?
Yeah.
Coletta.
Patty K.
Hey, how about Rob Ray getting a 10-minute misconduct at the start of the third overtime? He hadn't seen the ice in an hour and a half, and he got a 10-minute misconduct at the start of the third overtime. I think he said something to Ken Danico. Terry Gregson, the referee, was like, you're out, 10-minute.
You know what the theory is on that? When was that? What period did he get that in?
Start of the third overtime.
Yeah, you know what? When you know you're not going to get when you know you're not going to play, get on the score sheet somehow.
Pad the pims.
Well, you know what? Fraser didn't do it right, Petey. If you're going to take a 10-minute misconduct, take it with 9 minutes left in the period so you can go back to the locker room and just take your skates off and eat whatever is in there, especially when it's 1 in the morning. He had to sit on the penalty bench by himself for 10 minutes at the start of that period. So,
see the house, baby.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. So,
see the house. When you fought, you got sent to the room. When we fought, we got to go in the safety box, I used to call it. No one can get you in there for 5 minutes. Hey, Rip, so Tom Chorsky was the guy.
Tom Chorsky.
Tom Chorsky was my favorite player in the game last night.
I don't remember him much.
Really? I saw him and I was like, man, so that's Tom Chorsky.
Name me a guy. Name me a guy.
I just watched him. What's that?
Name me a guy in that game and watching him skate and do what he does that could play in today's game.
Stefan Richey.
There's two on the Devils.
Who?
Richey is one. Petey's absolutely right. And the other one, Scott Niedermeyer. Oh, he was 20 years old in that game. The guy was flying all over the place. He was so good. So those two, for me, For the Sabres, you know what was funny for the Sabres?
Marty, easily Scott Stevens. Easily.
Maybe because of the physicality, but I don't know that he has the prototypical, like, what it takes to play in today's game. He was big, he was strong, Scott Stevens was, but Niedermeyer and Richie were flying all over the ice. On the Sabres
side, I played with Richie.
Yeah, and myself.
I have never – so – like when you go back to your career and talk about guys that have the most skill, and I talk about Alex Kovalev having that skill set, when you talk about shot power, you think about Sheldon Surrey with his one-timer from the point.
Yeah.
But when you talk like skating ability, the power that Stefan Richie had with that shot was unbelievable. He, in today's game, would still be one of the faster players, and I'm not joking you.
No, he was incredible. I'll tell you this. On the Sabres side, I really didn't see anybody that, like, would display the speed and the skill that it would take in today's game. It was a completely different game, and the rink was smaller, so they were built differently. But even Alexander Mogilny, like, tell me one instance in that game where you really saw Mogilny, right? Like, he was hurt the year before.
When Scott Stevens train-wrecked him at the blue line.
Well, exactly. You didn't see Mogilny with the puck flying up and down. He had only 6 points in the 7 games in that series and had 79 points in the season in 66 games. So it's a good year, but I didn't see Mogilny a whole lot. And obviously, that was the start of – what was the beginning of the end for Mogilny, because he had had the injury, I believe, the year before, and him and LaFontaine were dealing with injuries from that point on. So, I mean, there was really nobody on the Sabres side that I thought, wow, like Ken Sutton maybe. Ken Sutton was good. He played a heck of a game in that game, and that was funny to think that, you know, he's the one that stood out to me.
Hey, do you want to know who was awesome when he was on the ice? From the Sabres? There were a couple of players from the Sabres I thought were awesome when they were on the ice.
Dale Hawerchuk?
Well, no. That's obvious. Jason Daw.
Yeah.
Jason Daw was awesome. Riv, how badly do you wish you watched the game now, Riv?
Not so Jason, much.
Okay, good. Jason Daw was one, and Brad May was the other.
Was flying.
Flying.
And I mean, when he was flying after the puck, and he would come in the corner and throw a body check, the whole rink was rattled. Like, the whole auditorium would rattle.
Those boards are amazing. That rink was – you played in that rink, Riv?
Yeah, 1 second.
Oh, that's right. I thought maybe you might have played another game there.
No, that's the only game I played in the odd. I got called. When did they change the odd, Marty, to
96, 97 was the first year at the Marine Midland Arena.
Yeah, so I got called up for that game in the odd. I was in the starting lineup, which turned into a 5-on-5 brawl. I got kicked out after 1 second, and I got sent down the next day.
Yeah,
I love that story.
Who
did you end up fighting? Okay, hold that thought. More importantly, do you have any recollection? I never could remember this stuff, Marty. I don't know if you remember hearing the crowd when you were fighting Emery or not. But do you remember the sound, the noise the crowd was making, Riv, after that brawl, during that brawl?
To be honest with you, I have no. I don't even know who I fought. I don't remember at all the crowd. You know, here's the thing: when you're fighting, you know that when you're fighting and you're into the fight, you don't hear anything. Like, there is nothing that goes on in your spidey senses. It's all going towards not trying to get killed.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you remember standing in the penalty box or downstairs in the locker room, if you could hear the crowd or not. Like,
they took me right off the ice. I didn't even get to go to the box.
did you get to at least morning skate there?
I can't remember that. I mean, that's 96, Petey. I mean, I can't remember yesterday, and I'm not joking. It's like I don't even remember the arena. I don't remember the dressing rooms. Like, that's a long time ago.
Let me tell you this. We all look at the game from last night, and we're going to watch the game tonight, which is the last game at the Odd. As, man, the Odd was such an unbelievable building, right? Like, so much character, so much charm, fans on top of you, steep, and all of this about the Odd. Well, I just did a little interview with Rick Jenneret this morning through Skype, and we'll have it on social media later today, talking about the Odd. And RJ, I asked him about his last game going to work at the Odd, and he goes, "Marty, I couldn't wait to get out of the Odd and go to the new building. I had toured the new building. I was so excited to have a new state-of-the-art, so much nicer type building." So it's funny how 25 years later, we're thinking back to the Odd and saying, man, the Odd was so fantastic. How much fun would that have been if it still was there? To when they moved, people were looking forward to just moving from the Odd and not having to return. So it's just funny how time changes your memories of things.
All right. Speaking of that, Marty, we have to mention tonight's game. Do you want to go ahead and promote tonight's game before we take a break? And I have to mention, Brandon Biro is going to be on tomorrow at 10:30. So, well, Riv, I know you have Riv, you're going to kind of host the next, I guess, phone conversation, because there's a lot you want to talk about on the Sabre side of things. So,
I Marty, think Brandon Biro is on today, no?
No, it's been changed to tomorrow.
Okay. Well, see, you know, things are changing. No, tonight at 8 o'clock on MSG in the Buffalo market, it's the last game. Farewell to the Odd. We will have the game and also part of the post-game ceremony included in watching the game. So it's not just the game from start to finish. There's some of the post-game ceremony that will be shown on the air. And if you're not in the Buffalo area and you're listening to us through the radio.com app or any other ways, it will be on at noon tomorrow on the Sabres YouTube channel. So, again, lots of social media interaction tonight. And lots of special things on Sabres.com throughout the day to remember the Memorial Auditorium.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. And when we come back after the break, let's talk some Sabres. You know, they have the Buffalo Sabres season Snapchat. So talking about who won the awards for the Sabres, the most valuable player, the rookie, defenseman of the year, defensive forward, and the comeback player. So I have actually, to be honest with you, I'll let people know exactly who is chosen, but I have a different list.
Oh, that in the industry is called a tease, my friend, and well done, sir. We shall return.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Brandon, today, my bad. What you do is you read, you open the messages so you don't have the blue dot, so it's not always a new message.
Yes, and so you read a message from yesterday that said Brandon Biro at 10:30 tomorrow. But you read it today, so it's you're back to the future.
Yeah. Well, he's going to join us in a few minutes. Sabres signed him. He's from Penn State. Marty, you got a great question for him. Why college over WHL? It's interesting, right? A guy from Alberta coming all the way this far. You know what I mean? Normally, most kids out there just go right to WHL, no?
Yeah, it's interesting because teams and college teams usually have their region where they're going to scout and do recruiting. So it's interesting how Penn State would have recruited Brandon Biro from Alberta, Canada. It's not really a place where Penn State would go and recruit a whole lot. Maybe you'd see some Minnesota teams or North Dakota and those type of teams recruit out that way, but yeah, not Penn State. So I want to know how that that all went down with him. How did Penn State approach him, and when did that get started?
I bet you I could tell you exactly why he didn't go to the WHL.
Well, I can tell you that too.
Why do you think, Marty?
Well, because he's listed at 5'11", 161 pounds.
Yeah, so that's at 22 years of age. So when he was 16 years of age and being drafted to the WHL, he might have weighed 130 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And the WHL, what do you remember about the three leagues in Canada? The WHL, the OHL, and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. What is the one thing about the WHL?
Well, let's start with the Quebec Major Junior.
East to West, Riv.
Soft and selfish, Quebec Major Junior.
Sidney Crosby.
The OHL.
Vinny LeCavalier, Marty St. Louis, soft and selfish, right? Let's just Georges Laroque. Oh, soft and selfish, right? Okay. Sylvain Blouin. You played with Sylvain Blouin. You know
who
he
is. That's not what he's saying, Marty.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. He's talking about, like, wearing the visors up to get 10-minute misconducts and lots of shots.
We can all talk about every league and have our own negative things to say about every league.
Okay, name me something negative about the OHL. Name me one thing negative.
Savard. How about Mark Savard? Every time his team scored a goal, he would go in the scrum and yell his number so the referee would give him assists. And I think he racked up like 100 assists the 1 year because of that. He never touched the puck.
Yeah, that's myth. And if there's an open spot in the box, if there's an open spot on the point box, they should find someone to give it to anyway.
Okay, so there you go. You're defending your own right there, Peter.
No, hey, former Oshawa General, my friend. Should have picked somebody else.
And yeah. Marty, here's the best thing is, he was only 130 points trying to do that. If he was in the Quebec Major Junior, he would have been 27th in scoring.
Hey, Rick, hold on a second. Let's bring on Brandon Biro. Brandon.
How's it going?
Have you been able to listen to this mess?
No, I just cut the last 30 seconds.
What did you hear?
I just heard if he was in the queue or something, he'd be 27th in scoring or something like that.
And soft.
Brandon, this is Marty Biron here. I want to know, when you grew up in Alberta, what did you think of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League? That's all I want to know. What did you hear about the Q? Because I played in the Q, so I want you to be very careful about what you say.
Be honest.
No. I want you to be very careful what you say for the betterment of your career.
Not a lot of defense. Not a lot of great goaltending. Oh. That's what I've heard.
Oh!
Drop the mic.
Oh, that's the second time I've seen Marty get knocked out. The first was Emery, and the second was Brandon Biro, 20 seconds into the round.
I'm going to tell you this right now. This young man has skyrocketed in my books. This is incredible. What an enjoyment to have Brandon Biro on today.
Ask him about the OHL. Ask him about the OHL first before we get to the WHL.
Well, if we're going there, Brendan, what do you think about the OHL?
I feel like it's a pretty skilled league. Not as gritty as the Western League, that's for sure.
All right.
You All shut right. your mouth when you're talking to me.
So listen, quite a career in Penn State. Sixth all-time in points with 91, You were having another fantastic year this year. Obviously, cutting it a little short. What can you tell us about your time in Penn State?
I'll say it was the best 4 years of my life, that's for sure. Going to school like that, so much bigger than hockey, that's for sure. The whole atmosphere around college athletics, football and basketball and all that is pretty special. But in terms of hockey, we had a great team and absolutely loved my 4 years there at Penn State.
So, Brendan, you actually grew up in Alberta and played in Sherwood Park, Alberta, for, Bantam, and then you played in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. What made you decide to go to college hockey route as opposed to play major junior in the West there?
For me, I was, a pretty late developer physically and felt like I just needed to give my body a little bit more time to give myself the best chance to play in the NHL. And so I felt like, going the junior A route was pretty good. Started to get some college interest my 16-year-old year, and had some buddies that ended up going the college route, and they loved it. So I got a chance to go on a fly down to Penn State when I was 17 and pretty blown away by everything that they had to offer. So it was just a really good fit for myself. I'm really happy with the decision I made.
Brandon Biro joining the Instigator Conference Call, Daily Conference Call on WGR 550, newest signee out of Penn State. Brandon, just to be clear so you know who we're talking to, the French gentleman from the Quebec Major Junior League is Marty Biron, as you know. The guy with the raspy voice who sounds like he's been smoking cigars and inhaling them for the last 20 years, that's Craig Rivet. And the guy talking now is Andrew Peters. And, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, when you signed, when you were about to sign before the season was canceled, were you expected to head to Rochester? And had you had any discussions with Jason Bottrell about your future with the Sabres?
I didn't really have too much discussion about, where I'd be at the end of the year. They were still trying to figure out all the logistics of it, and I was signed pretty early right after things got canceled, so no one was really knowing what was going to go on. So didn't really have any talks about that, but, in terms of next year, anything, not really sure where I'll end up, but he said, if I play well, I'll be given opportunity. So that's really all I can ask for.
So where did you go to quarantine?
I was at school for a little while and then heard the border was going to close. So I drove up with a guy on my team up to Ottawa here. So I'm stuck here for 2 weeks and then going to fly home to stay in quarantine as long as I need.
And are you guys still working out? Are you guys still trying to stay in shape or are you just shutting her down?
No, I'm trying to stay in shape. I've got a little home gym here. So, kind of making do with what we have here. Because you never know if the season is going to start up again or anything. So trying to stay in shape as best as possible.
What are you guys watching on TV right now? And I know everybody's asking the same questions probably around, but what's on the docket for Netflix or any other shows like that?
I'm watching Friends right now. I was watching up in the U.S. a little bit at the start of the year, and they took it off Netflix. So I've been off of that for a little while, but now it's on Canadian Netflix. So kind of been rolling through that, and that's kind of what I've been going with.
I said to the group the other day, but I'll suggest go and watch Tiger King. That to me right Tiger now King. Is the craziest. I can't even imagine that people that is real. So I'm telling you, after you're done with Friends and you have your fun time with Ross and Chandler and Joey and all those guys, like, go and watch Tiger King and you'll realize, like, what world do we live in? It's absolutely nuts.
Who is your favorite on Friends?
I like Joey, I think. He's the funniest. He's my go-to.
How annoying is Ross?
I mean, he's not too bad. I feel like he kind of grows on you a little bit.
He's kind of like Marty.
That's exactly why I take offense to that comment made by Petey.
That was
a setup.
Yes.
Listen, I think Ross would have excelled in the queue.
You know what? I'll tell you this, though. Ross ends up with Rachel many times over, and I won't, spoiler alert for the end, but I feel like I'd be okay to be Ross. Don't worry about me. Jennifer Aniston, I'd be okay.
Brandon, what's your favorite episode?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite one. I haven't watched it in a while, but I don't really have one.
Are you into any of these YouTube videos that are going out online? All these trending, I mean, whatever they are, there's so many of them. Have you been keeping up on those?
No, I feel like I'm trying to stay away from those as much as possible.
Brandon, question for you. You know, I know that you've you just signed with the Sabres. What type of player are you? What player do you kind of like emulate your game after?
I feel like I'm a player that is a pretty good complimentary player. A guy who's just kind of come into the league that I kind of hope that I could turn out like is Taylor Yamamoto in Edmonton. I know he's been, you know, excelling really well as kind of an undersized guy in the league, and that's someone who, you know, I kind of want to play like eventually. And so I feel like I got a 200-foot game and like to use my speed to make plays.
So Sherwood Park in Alberta, is that closer to Edmonton or Calgary?
Edmonton. It's about 15 minutes from Edmonton.
Okay, so did you grow up an Oilers fan, or like who did you grow up watching, and who was your team when you were a kid?
Edmonton's kind of been my team, you know, the whole way up. I liked watching them. I liked watching Nugent Hopkins a lot. He was probably my favorite player growing up. So, yeah, I was a big Oilers fan, still am.
Mm. All right. Well, enjoy your – I should say, well, try to enjoy your quarantine, and hopefully we can – see you on the ice here in Buffalo, whether it's for development camp or training camp at some time soon. So take care of yourself. Stay in shape. Only gets harder from here. Thanks. It's the best advice I can give you.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Take care. Marty, you ready for Dis or Dat when we come back?
Absolutely. I've got a few of them. I don't know if you guys watched the ESPN 8, the Ocho, this weekend, but I thought I'd bring a couple of Ocho this or that, and then just some things that happened over the last couple of days that I wanted to bring to the show for the people.
Would it have been wrong for me to ask him if he had bought a car already or something?
No, it's not wrong. I think that's definitely something you can ask.
Yeah, but kids aren't signing nowadays, Marty, for the type of cash you were getting, like not to center you out.
No.
You were a first-round pick. You got hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of my buddies got million, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Like guys I know got $400,000 or $500,000. Like there's, like I don't know. It's like you're getting good money. Don't mistake what I'm saying, but it's not nearly. And that was kind of one of the things in the CBA that changed was how much rookies were getting in entry level deals.
Yeah, it's not wrong to ask. It wouldn't have been wrong to ask.
Still you know, getting pretty good money. There's no question about that.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean,
it's
I don't
not
know.
Alexander Daigle, the $1.3 million whatever signing bonus as a first overall pick. Rasmus Dahlin didn't get that. Jack Eichel didn't get that. Connor McDavid didn't get that. They're not even close to that.
Yeah, but didn't Daigle have a guaranteed deal? Like, I know Jason Bond Sr., a friend of the show, yeah, by the way, from Rochester, New York, got, like, he got like $1 million signing bonus, but then he signed I think he got a one-way deal out of the draft. He was making $1 million in Sudbury.
I don't remember how that all worked.
No. No way he did that.
Okay. Maybe I'll have to – Marty, you're the fact checker. But he was making some stupid money out of junior hockey in Edmonton. I know that.
I'm reading here.
He wasn't making $50,000. He was making money.
Alexander Daigle signed a 5-year deal with the Ottawa Senators for $12.25 million in '93.
Yeah, it was guaranteed.
He was a $2 million signing bonus. So that's what he said. And Daigle said his plan for his signing bonus was to pay off the mortgage on his parents' home in Laval in Quebec when that happened. So you know what was funny is the Ottawa Senators president and general manager at the time, I give you one guess on who the GM in Ottawa was.
Pierre Page.
No. Randy Sexton was the president and general manager of the Ottawa Senators at the time. the assistant general manager here in Buffalo. So anyway, but that's what guys got. That's what rookies got. First overall pick got back in the days, and then things change a little bit.
So $1 million in 1993 is equivalent to about 1.8 now. So that's like that's a U.S. inflation. I didn't do Canadian inflation.
Yeah.
So that, like at the time, so put that in perspective, like $2 million then is like four now almost.
Yeah.
So that's like an 18-year-old kid, like Darlene coming out of the draft and getting a check for $4 million. That's like the NFL. That's what they get in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like that still. All right. We got to go to break. This or that next. Stick around.
Sounds good.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, by the time we get back on the air, PD and Rivs, my hair will have grown back. And so the this or that animation that we are showing or used to show when my hair is gone will be back to normal. So with that said, PD, it's time for this or that. Right now, we lost Rivs. He's not on the line, so we'll just do one with you right now. Did you watch ESPN The Ocho on Sunday, Petey?
Negative, Marty.
Negative. Okay, well, I'll ask you a couple of questions. I watched dodgeball, so Canada, USA, a big golf dodgeball match right here in Whitby, Ontario. So I think that's where they were doing in a gym somewhere. So
are you serious right now?
Yeah, but that's from a few years back. So I don't know if it was like it wasn't happening now. Obviously, that was from a few years back. But I'm going to ask you this. They mentioned a couple of things in dodgeball, either having player advantage or ball advantage. And I was amazed that there was actual strategy in dodgeball. So I'm asking you this or that. What's better in dodgeball, player advantage or ball advantage?
I haven't played dodgeball since like sixth grade.
Okay.
So I don't. Is that like ball in hand or with minus a player or the other team or you have one more player? And is that like obvious? Am I just trying to?
No, it was more like.
Am I overthinking it?
Down to the end of the game, there was one guy for Canada against two Americans, but the Canadian guy had. Three of the dodgeballs in his side, and the Americans only had one. So they said, oh, here's one of those situations where ball advantage is way better than player advantage, because knowing that all the Canadian was trying to do is wait for the U.S. to come in and throw their ball at him, and then he would be able to counter right
away.
Pretty
easy strategy for me, Marty. You know what you do? Sacrificial lamb. One guy just stands over. You let the Canadian fire the ball. And while he's firing it, you just lay one off his rib cage. Boom, game over. We win.
Yeah, I could see that. Ribs, you're back. What do you think in dodgeball? Is player advantage or ball advantage the best strategy there, this or that?
Obviously, the ball. I mean, you got to have the ball. You got to have the more balls, the better, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Some would say.
You got to show some gumption. And the other thing before we go on to something else.
I got a question for you. So, yeah. What did they call you that game when you were in like middle school or elementary school? Was it called dodgeball?
Yeah.
There were different names for it.
You know what they called it in North Bay?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Murder ball.
Murder ball.
Yeah.
That was the name of it.
That's a different game though, Riv. That's a different game. And the name shouldn't be called that, looking back on it, but that's a different game. That's one person with the ball, everyone lines up on the wall. So everyone's in play, one person. This is dodgeball's two teams. Totally different.
Yeah, different games there we're talking about.
All
right.
Okay, and the other one I watched in the morning was stone skipping. I could not believe that they were showing stone skipping on TV, but it was a little mesmerizing how people like had to wait for the waves to settle down a little bit. But there's this strategy in stone skipping. Do you, this or that, have a big first skip and then a bunch of little ones, or you try to go for the small skips all the way down. So stone skipping this or that. Big first one or just small ones all the way through?
I'm going to have to sit out this play. I don't even know what you're talking about, stone skipping.
When you're in the water and you have one of those flat stones and you throw it on top of the water.
Okay.
So what do you
I think the most important thing is the strength of the throw, and then that's going to, if you hit the water perfectly, then you will have many, many skips.
What's your record, Rick?
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't count that many, but it's I'm an elite stone skipper.
Petey?
I would say a big first skip. You know what? Here's the thing. Big first skip means you've come down hard on it and it's kicked up on you, and you're not going to get a lot of skips after that. You got to get nice and low and sideways. There's a country song about this. Skipping rocks on a river by the railroad tracks. And you got to get down nice and low to the side, and you got to get a good, I don't think it's called a trajectory because it's going down, but it might be. But anyway, you got to get a good little angle there. So I got to say the small skips.
Okay. Well, I think the small skips really work better when I was watching it, but it's always more impressive when you get a big first skip and then you're able to get maybe four or five more after that. So anyway, listen, I will save the other two this or that I have here with me for next time. They can be used at any moment. So I just thought I'd do a little recap of ESPN 8, the Ocho. That was on Sunday. That was a lot of fun to watch. And we'll take a short break here, Petey, because when we come back, I believe we have an update from studio, and then we'll talk about, you know, at the Athletics. They have their NHL awards out for the 2019-2020 season, so we'll talk about handing out some awards if the league does not come back to finish this year. So,
Rivs has to get his Saber snapshots in. Saber snapshots for Riv next.
Okay, well, we'll do that as well. So.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.